The Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Krishna Surya Samamaya Hoya Andhakar Yahan Krishna Hand Nahi Maya Adhikar. Krishna is just like the sun and Maya is like the darkness. If the sun is present, there's no question of darkness. Similarly, if Krishna is in the mind, there's no possibility of the mind's being agitated by Maya's influence. The yogic process of negating all material thoughts will not help. To try to create a vacuum in the mind is artificial. The vacuum will not remain. However, if one always thinks of Krishna and how to serve Krishna best, one's mind will naturally be controlled. This last sentence is a very important sentence. I want to come back to that in a minute. We'd like to read a few things about the importance of controlling the mind. The mind is the keystone of the yoga process. It's the leader of all the senses. If we control the mind, the other senses become very easy to control. Therefore, Krishna, he tells Arjuna in the Gita, the 6th chapter, text 5, Udared Atmana Natmanam Atmaiva Atmana. Your mind can be your bandhu, or your mind can be your rupur, your enemy. Can be your friend or your enemy. If we deliver ourselves, Udared Atmanatmanam, by the help of our mind, then our mind is our friend. But that same mind can be our greatest enemy also. It probably describes in different places the dharma of the mind, the sankalpa and vikalpa, for accepting and rejecting. And this lack of control of our mind is that thing which breeds anger and frustration. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he comments on Bhagavatam 11:20-27. It says, a devotee recognizes that his expectations of happiness in family life with his wife and children are in fact the source of unhappiness. Remember this? This is the cause of our suffering. It's not that your grihastha life, the suffering's going to be caused because your wife just never stops talking. Or she wants so much money, or she goes and buys all kinds of things, or she quarrels with you, or the wife is going to suffer because the husband's very angry and shouts at her and doesn't do nice things for her, or the baby's there and the baby's always crying and passing stool and it's very nasty and dirty. Those are not the causes of suffering. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says the cause of suffering is the expectations that we have in the mind. We think, oh, this is going to be very, very good. The great hope. We have this great hope. We've suffered in this material world from the very first moment we were born. We came out of the womb crying. And then some of our first experiences are sticking our hands in the fire, getting smashed on us, and people hurting our feelings, and we're suffering throughout. But still, we have the great hope. This is a story, you can make a movie about material life, called The Great Hope. We have the great hope that somehow this next thing will be somehow different. Even though I've had so many girlfriends, and they've all cheated on me, and they've all kicked me, and they've done this thing and that thing. I've had so many boyfriends, and they're all rotten jerks, and they cheated on me, and they did this thing and that thing. Even though I've tried to eat so many things, and I've gotten sick, and even though I've suffered so many, I have this hope that this time, this is different. It's different this time. We have this hope. It's the great hope. And that great hope is what's keeping our material life. So we have to become hopeless. We have to give up all of our hope. There's a nice song by Krishna Das. Prabhu Nityananda, Namo Jiva. because I never worshipped Lord Nityananda Prabhu. I never took shelter of his lotus feet. And what is the nature of that misfortune?
Nitahi bolia keno Mariana jaha Kisuke Achaha. Huh? My dear heart, my dear life, when are you going to be happy? I've given you everything that you've asked for. When you're a little child, you wanted a red fire truck. You wanted a bigger ball than what your friends had. When you were a little girl, about 8 years old, you thought you were going to die if you didn't get some makeup, and lipstick and some eyeliner and this and that. So I gave you those things. I gave you the girlfriends and the boyfriends and the cars and the dresses and this kind of food and that kind of food. Kisuke achaha. But you're never satisfied. My dear mind. When are you ever going to be happy? So he addresses him. Very strong language. Nitahi bolia keno Mariana jaha. Nitahi bolia keno Mariana.
Better that you just call out the name of Nityananda Prabhu and die. What does it mean? It doesn't mean that you should go to the store and spend Prabhupada's money on a gun and some bullets and go blow your brains out. The temple president won't appreciate that useless waste of money. It means, dying means that our material body, our material life, our material desires, they should die. And if we do that, then we can really call out the name of Nityananda. If we don't do that, then how can we call out the name of Nittai? It won't be possible. So our mind is such a rascal. We have to try to control the urges of our mind. Our mind has so many, many different urges and causes so many different problems. Tam Jayam Satram Masaya Vegam Arundudam Tana Viji Chakichit Kurvanja Sadigram Atamatan Mitrani Dasina Vipundudha. What's the nature of the mind? The mind is always causing us all kinds of trouble. Actually, Krishna tells Uddhava, this mind is your greatest enemy. And if you don't control it, if you don't control this manasa krodha vegam, then you're going to become bewildered and you'll start quarreling with other people. Therefore, Thakur Bhaktivinoda, when he explains this, he summarizes this, the different elements of this verse, he says, manasavega artat. Manasavega means nanavida manuratta dwara. The agitation of the mind and the innumerable desires and plans fabricated within the mind. We become completely bewildered. And we think, this thing's really, really important. I really need this thing. We're just like children. We've seen so many children in the supermarket screaming and crying and making a big, because they have to have that piece of candy. And if they don't get that, they're going to smash their head on the ground and they're going to cry. We're like that little child. We're not at all peaceful. So in such a bewildered condition, Krishna says, we create useless quarrel with others. And we designate different people. Oh, this is my friend. And this person over here, he's my enemy. This is the nature of the mind. It has no reality. It's not real at all. Therefore, the Sanat Kumar Sanhita describes
Samsara Sagaranato Mitranita Grihakula Uptarome Yuvameva. This fear comes because we're identifying. We're thinking, this is my friend, this is my wife, this is my child. That's our problem. Sangsara sagaranatra putra mitra griha kulat. We're praying to Krishna, please save me from this great trouble. What is the thing you should save me from? Please save me from my friends. Save me from my family. Because these are all concoctions of the mind. They're things that we make up. So many things. Like you said, we're trying to keep it simple. In his commentaries on the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has described three different platforms of controlling the mind. And these are very instructive for us. We can think about these. Srila Prabhupada, in his purport, he indirectly indicates this. He says, however, if one always thinks of Krishna and how to serve Krishna best, one's mind will naturally be controlled. It's not just that we think of Krishna. I'm trying to think of Krishna. But also how to serve Krishna best. So Vishwanath says there's three stages: abhyasa, manana, and smarana. Abhyasa yoga yuktena, Krishna says in the Gita. Abhyasa means practice. Hey, sweep the room, the dust has come. And then the next day you have to sweep it again because that dirt is always, always coming, especially in India, isn't it? So that's abhyasa. But if you finally clean the room very good, then your mind will become peaceful and nice. So we sweep the room of our mind of all these nasty thoughts and ideas. And once we are able to push them out, and Krishna is there, we're trying to think of Krishna by chanting, then our mind becomes a little pacified. Then we can come to the next platform of mind control, which is manana. The platform of manana is that platform which someone begins to contemplate. My Gurudev told me to chant Hare Krishna. What does it mean? Why did he tell me to chant Hare Krishna? What is the meaning of the Maha Mantra? Do you think about the meaning of the Maha Mantra when you chant? What are you thinking about? When you're chanting, he's thinking about some girl, some other thing, this thing, that. We're thinking so many things. We can't control our mind, and because we can't control our mind, we can't control our speech. You can see many temples, especially there's a certain place where all the ladies, they gather together, sometimes the men, during japa period, and they come together and they this one, and they talk this thing and that thing. So we should control our mind. If we control our mind by controlling our speech, we should have a time for talking and a time for japa, a time for chanting. We just tell our mind, my dear mind, this time is a time that I chant. I'm sorry, my dear mind, I know you're very nice and you're my friend. It's okay. Pat him on the back. Just wait a little while. This other time we'll allow you to go and talk with your friends and do this. But this time is the time we have for chanting. And then we should chant during our chanting time. And we talk during our talking time. Not that we talk during our chanting time, nor should we chant during our talking time. The mind will also become disturbed. We give ourselves some specific time. Thakur Bhakti Vinod, he had his day regimented so nicely. At a certain time he would chant his japa. And a certain time he would write, a certain time he would eat, a certain time he would sleep, and a certain time he would meet with people and have discussions. And we do like that, it's a very nice thing, when our mind is peaceful. So, we should come to the platform of manana. We should contemplate, why am I here? What does it mean? Not just doing things automatically. Abhyasa means just some automatic thing. Because our mind is so disturbed, we're so agitated by so many material desires that we can't slow down to stop and think what we're doing. It's okay. Just keep sweeping. Keep practicing. And after some time, oh, you can slow down a little bit. And then you can begin to contemplate. My Gurudev told me to do this service. He told me to make books and magazines. He told me to distribute books. He told me to do deity worship. Why did he tell me that? What is his mood? How can I please him? What will he really like me to do? What will he not like me to do? We should come to the platform of Manana. And then, after some time of Manana, Vishnu says, comes Smarana. Nitai boliya kino mariyana jaha. Some people say the Smarana means Marana. Smarana means death. That when we die, when we give up everything, when our material desires are dead, then we can come to the platform of really thinking about Krishna. So we should put Krishna in our mind. Even if it's on the platform of abhyasa, an artificial thing, still we should try and keep sweeping doing that thing. And then after some time when we're more peaceful, we'll be able to contemplate. The platform of manana is there. And then after some time of contemplation, we can come to the platform of actually where Krishna appears naturally in our mind. A very wonderful thing. This is also described in the Mantanavarna, which is quoted in Hari Bhakti Vilas. Mana samharanam socham monam mantra to chintanam avibratam anirvedo japa sambhati hetavaha. This is in the section of Hari Bhakti Vilas where Sanatana Goswami speaks about japa. We want to use our japa to control our mind. So he says, if you want to perfect your beginning of japa, you need to cultivate the following qualities. Mana samharanam. You should control your mind. You should have internal and external purity. You should practice mona, silence. But not the mona of the mayavadis. We practice mona that we don't speak any nonsense. We only speak Harikatha, Krishna Katha. We should contemplate mantrartha chintanam, the meaning of the mantra. Abhigata nirvedo. We should be patient and steadfast. If we do those things, then we can perfect our japa. So manasamharana means that repeatedly we bring our mind back when it wanders to sense objects. Our mind will be controlled in this way. This is purity. Purity means this thing, that we have this motivation. We'll bring our mind back. Not that we're going to allow our mind, we're not going to indulge our mind to go to that place to think about some cinema movie, some cinema song, or this pretty girl in Sankirtan, you know, that handsome guy. Silence means that we should contemplate the meaning of our mantra. We should contemplate, what does it mean to chant Hare Krishna? Thakur Bhaktivinoda has given a very wonderful explanation of the Maha Mantra at the end of Harinam Chintamani. Similarly, Gopal Guru Goswami is giving a meaning, Jiva Goswami is giving one, Raghunath Das Goswami is giving a meaning, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is giving. We should study these things. And we should meditate on them. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is giving a very, it seems like a very, very elevated, I don't even know if it's translated in any of the English translations, because it's such a very esoteric and transcendentally erotic meaning of the Maha Mantra. But the general meaning is that we're meditating when we're chanting Hare Krishna on Radharani meeting with Krishna. That's the meaning of the Maha Mantra. The Maha Mantra means that's Bhaktivinoda Thakur's mood, which technically is a very high thing when we come to later on in the Pradeshamrita, is technically known as Manjari Bhav. And he's meditating on Radhika coming together with Krishna. And therefore he's chanting Hare Krishna to meditate on that thing. So we should meditate on the meaning of the mantra. Avigratha means that we shouldn't rush our chanting in order to finish our fixed number of rounds. Anirveda means that we shouldn't lose hope when we don't attain the desired results as quickly as expected. We shouldn't cry, oh, I'm very bad, I'm this and that. And then our mind tricks us. Our mind tricks us. This is some judo.
on us and throws us on the ground, and we waste our time with unnecessary lamentation. That's the nature of the mind. No? So we should practice these two things, abhyasa, manana, and then we'll come smile. So we'll stop here. Are there any discussion, comments, or questions?
You said that in mode of goodness they search for truth, guru or disciple. In order to establish truth, they have an argument. They have an argument?
No. There may be some questioning. It may even, for some people sometimes, it may look like an argument. It's not necessarily reflected in the external tone of voice or demeanor of the body. But in general, it's usually externally exhibited in terms of submissive behavior. But it means then that the disciple, it means a guru-disciple relationship. That's the mode of goodness, that we can accept someone as our teacher and we can hear from them. Sanatana Goswami elaborates more on this point in Hari Bhakti Vilas. He says that we should not try to impress the guru. The guru is giving some lecture, and maybe we know some verse that he doesn't know. We shouldn't try to impress him with our knowledge. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada said it many times, was known as a walking encyclopedia. But who is his guru? Gurga Shodas Babaji didn't know Sanskrit. He had two books that were his favorite books. Do you know what those books were? Praying Bhakti Chandrika. Wonder what he once came to Gurga Shore and asked him, Maharaj, how can I get Krishna praying? Gurga said, that's very easy. You just take a few paisa and go to the market and buy Prem Bhakti Chandrika and practice and study those things. Very, very important works, huh? So he wasn't a big scholar. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta wasn't trying to impress him, wasn't going to try to outdo him as we are a material world. That's jhampa or vitanga. That's in the mode of ignorance. So a bhada exchange happens between guru and disciple, especially. Anything else, Isa? Do you want to add anything, Mataji? No? Guruji? Yes, sir?
Prabhuji, you said about not imitating the guru. And yesterday we discussed on that words of Mangalacharan. Guru delights great pleasure in the Namrup Guru Gita also. He said, and we should do anugaman of it. Also try to do it. So it's very difficult to distinguish anugaman and imitation. I mean, what criteria should be considered by distinguishing?
In the beginning platform of Abhyasa, it's not possible to distinguish between imitation and proper following. Because when we have, our mind is too disturbed, it's not peaceful enough, we have to come to the platform of manana. But don't worry. On an external platform, we follow just by following instructions, doing the best that we can. And then as we grow deeper, our mind becomes more peaceful. And we can start contemplating more about the meaning of the mantra, about the purpose of our Gurudev, about the desire of our Gurudev. As we come closer to Him, then those things will naturally become revealed. Krishna says, the Dhammi Buddhi Yogam Tam, Bhajatam Buddhi Purvakam. If you do bhajan with priti, what does priti mean in a very simple way? It means don't speculate. It means chant Krishna Nam. Follow the instructions of Guru. Acha jira mata jay say mata sar. The instruction of our Gurudev is the essence of our spiritual life. His opinion, his mata, is our sar. So we should accept that, even if we have an external understanding of it, and even if we may be doing some kind of imitation. But we do that, and we keep practicing that, and after some time we'll become peaceful. Another inherent point in this idea too is that we shouldn't criticize other people if we see them doing imitation. What are you doing? You're just imitating, like, leave them alone. Don't associate with them. Keep your distance. But they're chanting. They're doing something. And they'll gradually also come to a higher platform. If it's our business, if we're a leader, if we're a manager, I'm speaking as one of the rank and file devotees, if we're a leader or manager, then it may be our business to chastise them for that. But as rank and file devotees, it's not our business. But at the same time, we have a right, we have an obligation to ourselves. We can respect everyone, we can respect all the leaders and senior devotees, but we have an obligation to ourselves, a right, to take shelter of that person that we're inspired by. We should do that. Right? If we see that someone is imitating or something, we can dhritaki dandava, we can offer some obeisances from a distance. We may not associate very intimately. Because if we associate intimately, then that mood may come to us. And therefore we see sometimes people, devotees, young devotees, they want to associate with devotees who have material desires. They want to associate with people who are not following very strictly. Because they feel comfortable. We want to associate with someone who's not a pure devotee. Because a pure devotee is going to chastise us. He's going to speak in such a way, he's going to spoil the whole party. He'll spoil our party of fun. So we don't want to be around him. We want to go to someone who's going to pat us on the head and say, very, very good. Yes, I'm a very good person. We want that thing. And we cheat ourselves. Okay?
So sometimes we have to give up ears to our friends, to those who are in distress.
We have to give up what?
We have to give our ears, means we have to hear to those who are in distress. And that time we have to speak pleasingly, via hitam. So maybe we are joining with him, or sometimes we have to criticize the other person in order to please him or to console him. Or how to deal with that situation?
You're saying he may criticize another person?
Yeah, he's humble and he's in distress.
It depends on our relationship. It depends on the quality of faith and the degree of faith they have in us. If they have lots of faith in us, very, very strong faith, maybe we may chastise them. Hey! What are you criticizing someone for? You have so many faults yourself. Don't do that. But if they don't have faith in you, and you speak like that to them, then it'll just create a disturbance. So we have to see what the quality of their faith is in us. And if they have faith, then we can say something. And if they don't have faith, as we were saying the other day, that's why God created wristwatches. Oh, Guruji, I'm really sorry. I have to go. Excuse me. As Raghunath Das Goswami would do, when people start saying some bad thing, criticizing somebody else, he didn't have a wristwatch, I don't think. But he was, oh, I'm very sorry, I have to go. It's time. Excuse me. And just leave. It depends on our relationship with them. If they have some faith in us, then we can help them. We can say something to them. And if they don't have faith in us and we still want to help them, what can we do? Then we can act in such a way by our own behavior that they may get some inspiration. We can take shelter, we can take solace in the understanding that still I can help them by being a good example myself and not taking those things seriously. Just like a child, a good parent knows, every good parent knows, you don't take seriously the frustrations and anxieties of a child. When the child came running and, "Mom, you did a bad thing." And the mother started crying all, "Oh, you're right, it's very, very bad." What will the child do? The child may not listen to the mother, but the mother can teach just by, it's not a big deal. It's okay. Don't take it seriously. Listen to them. But don't take it seriously. Because we're like children in this world. We have so many childlike attachments and things. And the sadhu is just like a parent who listens patiently and then dispels with one wave of his hand. "Is that all you're worried about? It's nothing." And then all of a sudden that big, big finger, which we thought was so monumental and so insurmountable, becomes very insignificant. So we might be able to do like that also. It doesn't mean, Vachavega means that we should control our speech. We may not be able to teach somebody by our speech, but we can teach them in other ways. Kayamanavakya. You know, we can teach by our body, we can even teach by our mind, by how we, our attitude towards things. People can see that. Is that okay?
And you said one should not speak harsh words, but how to receive harsh words?
We should tolerate it. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says a very nice thing about harsh words. There's a verse, I'll just read this purport, from the 11th canto, chapter 23, text 5. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says, "Often those who give up the materialistic path and devote themselves to renunciation are attacked by impious persons." It happens very often. "This analysis, however, is superficial. Since the punishment, or the chastisement this other materialistic person may give us, is actually the cumulative result of one's past karma. It's really our own karma. Our spiritual life begins here by tolerating this thing. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says a very, very sagacious thing. Some renunciates show lack of tolerance when presented with the remnants of their previous sins, and thus are forced to enter again onto the path of impious life. They can't tolerate when someone comes up and they offer us the remnants of our own plate, the remnants of our own impious activities in the form of harsh words and chastisement. We can't tolerate those things. And then we are forced to come again on the path of impious life. And he gives us a secret, a very nice secret. If one refuses to enter into enmity with envious men, they will automatically leave him alone. Leave him alone. Who cares? It's their problem. They're writing so many nasty things on the internet about my Guru Maharaj, about this or that. What do I care? They're not going to listen to me. It's not my business. It's not my lookout. But if I enter into some quarrel with them, then I'm going to enter again in the path of impious life. I should tolerate. And Shansadhamma Viguna Paradhana Sunusa, I should do what's been given for me to do. If it's not within my jurisdiction to chastise them or correct them, I shouldn't worry about it. Then we may say something. Once I asked my spiritual master, I said how the Shastra says, 4th Canto Bhagavatam says, that if someone criticizes a Vaishnava, there's different ways to deal with that. One of them is we should defeat them. I said, but sometimes we see we defeat that person and they don't accept it. Like Vidya Maharaj's example, hitting someone in the head with a hammer. But no, you didn't. You know, so sometimes you defeat them but they don't accept it. So what does it mean to defeat someone? And he told me a very nice thing. He said that it means that you speak in such a way that they become mum. And they can't say anything more. That's what it means to defeat them. So if we can do that, very good. That's a very good thing. If we can't do that, then the best thing is to leave. To leave that association. Is that okay? I'm a little nervous.
Yeah. Difficult is that we have to show their faults. Is that inability to...
Not necessarily. It depends on the circumstance. Situation, maybe showing their faults, or maybe just showing that they're incorrect, their understanding is wrong, and this other thing is correct. But whatever we do, Vaishnavas, Mahaprabhu, his weapon was his charm, it is beauty. We can change people's hearts by our sweetness. Krishna is known as Madhusudan because he killed the demon named Madhu. But another meaning, Arjuna addresses in that way in the first verse and second chapter. I think first verse, isn't it? Of the second chapter of Gita. He's telling Krishna, you please kill the demons in my doubts in my heart. And how does Krishna do that? He kills those demons with sweetness. That's how Krishna kills those demons of doubts. That's how the Vaishnavas do it. So that's the best weapon. Harsh words are not a good weapon. Sweet words are much, much more powerful. But sometimes a sadhu may use some harsh words, and Krishna will dictate, Krishna will give some inspiration when to do that and when not to do that. Okay? I'm a little nervous because the sadhu is being served right now at the temple, and everybody has to walk all the way over to get it, so I'm causing some trouble to you. But my harsh words, excuse me. Kanchak of the Guru's chant, the Sindhu Deva chant, the Vaishnava Deva. Shilpadesham Rita Ki Jan, Shilpa Vishrami Prabhupada Ki Jan, Shilpa Prabhupada Ki Jan, Gopi Prema Nandana.